You may be seated, and thank you, David. And what a joy it is to be able to enter into the house of worship today, to be able to honor our Father who is in heaven and really tell His story. That's what we're about, aren't we? You and I are the bearers of good news. We're to tell the world about the Christ who came into the world and shed His blood for our sin. You know, God did not call us to be an average Christian. I have heard so many people in my lifetime refer to the fact that I'm just an average Christian, and that's all they ever really want to be in life. But when you read the Bible, you understand that God expects much, much more than average. He really does. Factually speaking, you and I are to stamp out average. God wants us to do much, much more than we perhaps have ever been doing in our life. We're to rise above average. I don't know where people developed a mindset of thinking that if we're just average, then God's going to be pleased with us for some reason or another. When God has always required our best. You know, in the Old Testament, it started out, didn't it, with God calling upon Adam and Eve to offer their best. And when sacrifices were made, God called upon their sons, Cain and Abel, to offer the best sacrifice, the blood sacrifice. And Abel responded, but Cain did not. I'm convinced that if we're ever going to get above average, you and I have to commit to personal growth. If I were to ask you this morning, how much stronger are you in your knowledge and in your efforts to really be a Christian are you today than you were this time last year? You know, when you look back upon the year 2017, maybe you did a lot of great things. Maybe you've already done a lot of great things in the first 6 months of this year. But are they just average? Are you just trying to get by? You know, sometimes you hear kids say about school, well, if I could just make a C and just get by, then that's perfectly fine with me. Why would we want to do less than our best? Again, I would challenge all of us this morning to rise above average. Average is not enough. And the way you get beyond average is to go beyond yourself. It is. You see, we have to be drawn to doing those things that our Father in heaven has called upon us to do. And I can tell you that God is the magnet. Let me ask you one more question this morning. Are you above average or are you below average? Maybe you're below average, and I certainly don't indict anyone here this morning at all, but I'm saying that perhaps maybe some are below average because they're not really making an effort to get above average. Maybe it's because we're not doing anything at all. There was a sign on a stage one time that proclaimed the motionless man, and underneath it said, make him laugh and you will win $100. The temptation was tremendously irresistible. And for 3 hours, the young boys and girls who would come by, the men and the women, performed every antic they could ever imagine in their mind, every joke they knew, but Bill Fuqua, the motionless man, stood perfectly still. As a matter of fact, Bill Fuqua is recorded in the Guinness Book of World Records as a champion of doing simply nothing at all. In fact, he appears so motionless during his routines at shopping malls and amusement parks that sometimes he is mistaken as a mannequin. You know, in our lives, we may not be that motionless, but sometimes we are. You and I must be dedicated workers in the kingdom of God. Some people say, am intimidated by the fear of being average, but you and I must do much, much more. There is no intimidation of giving your best. Don't be average when you can be amazing. That is the message of God, and it is taken this morning from our text in the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Paul said, "In this I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are," listen to this, "that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ." He is saying in that text, don't just be good, be great. You know, we have a lot of great people in this church. I was telling our Bible class that this morning from the words of people who are not members of our great fellowship of believers here this last week, who began to praise this church and talk about the love that abounded and the wonderful commitment that people in this church have made unto God to helping one another and helping those outside the body of Christ. And you and I must be a people that commit unto personal growth. And the Apostle Peter perhaps said it profoundly in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. That we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Are you growing in Christ? Are you really growing in Christ? What are you doing for the cause of Jesus? There's an old story about a fisherman who was very successful in life. Every morning he would go out to the lake, and he would go out in a very small boat, and when he returned a couple of hours later, his boat was loaded down with fish. I mean, it wasn't just one day out of the week. Every day he would go out to that lake. And when he came back in, I'm telling you, he had fish all over the place. And people wondered how in the world that he did it. Even when other people would go out the same day, the same hour, and they wouldn't catch anything at all. But he always came in with a boatload of fish. One morning, a stranger showed up with his fishing tackle, and he asked him the question. He says, "Do you mind if I go fishing with you this morning?" And the man said, "No, I don't mind at all. Just hop in, and we'll go over to a little cove where I have always had good luck." Well, the man hopped in the boat, and off they headed across the lake until they came to that small cove. The old fisherman stopped the boat, cut off the motor, and reached over into his tackle box and took out a red stick of dynamite. He lit the fuse and held it for a moment as the fuse burned down. And then at the last moment, he tossed it into the water, and there was a tremendous explosion. Fish were everywhere on the water. He picked up his net and began scooping up all of the fish. And after watching this for a moment, the stranger reached in his pocket and pulled out his wallet. Opening it up, he showed his badge and he said, "I'm a game warden and you are under arrest." The old fisherman simply reached over into his tackle box and pulled out another stick of dynamite. He lit it, held it as the fuse burned down, and then he tossed it to the game warden and said, "Now, are you going to just sit there or are you going to fish?" You know, there comes a time in our life when we need to do something. We need to get off the bench and we need to start fishing. We need to start fishing for men and bringing people to Jesus. That's what we are. For you read in the book of Matthew 4 and verse 19 where Jesus says, "Come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men." But that happens because we grow. That happens because we become more like our Lord Jesus Christ, who went all over the world preaching and teaching the message of God. I cannot impress upon you this morning how important personal growth really is. Do you know that there are some Christians who remain in preschool spiritually? They have never grown from the moment that they were baptized into Christ. They're still right where they are, intellectually speaking, concerning the Word of God. They don't know any more about the Bible than they knew when they first became baptized believers. They only have a thimbleful of knowledge, and no wonder they feel intimidated by going out in the world and trying to tell someone else about the Lord that they claim to be serving in their life. Average again, and I'll say it one more time, is not enough. We must go beyond ourselves. Let's talk this morning about this thing of average. What is average? What do we mean by average anyway? Well, the word average comes from the word medius. It means in the middle, or ochris, which actually means rugged mountain. So in reality, it just means that you're about halfway up the mountain. That's where you are, literally halfway. And instead of going on and going to greater heights in our spiritual lives, we stay in the middle, and a lot of people are content to be right there. They feel that they just want to be ordinary Christians, as they call themselves, or commonplace children of God. Neither very good. They're not really, really bad. They're just, as I said, average. They're in the middle somewhere, and they are ordinary. But I can tell you, they are not. Listen, it is not enough to be inferior. When I think about the average life, it is easy to see the appeal of the average life. It is. While we look at people around us, and matter of fact, we see that in a lot of religious organizations where people come, sit on a church pew on Sunday, go back out in the world, live their lives in ungodly fashions, come back in, sit on the church pew the next Sunday, go back out and live their lives. It takes less effort to reach subpar standards. So if we accept that which is less than best, we don't have to put a whole lot into it. You don't have to work very hard. You don't have to give of your time. You don't have to give of your efforts. Some people say, I'll be a Christian if it doesn't require much of me. That's not what Jesus is asking, not in the book of Luke chapter 9. He said, if a man would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow Jesus. It appeals to those people who want instant gratification. And there are some people that do. There are some people in this world that want gratification right now instead of doing all the hard work. It's like people who want to be successful in life. They say, well, you know, I want to be successful in life, but I don't want to do my best. It's like the kids that go to school and they are content to be a C student when they can be an A student. Success doesn't come easy. And some people are content to live that ordinary life and just be average. But average is not enough. Not in the eyes of our Father. You and I must rise above. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Some people are like this gentleman. They are simply lazy. They are. They live like that. They want everybody else to do something for them. Call on someone else. Don't call on me. I don't have time. What makes us think that somebody else has more time than we have? What makes people think that it's somebody else's job to fulfill the Great Commission or to be the child of God that labors in the vineyard of our Lord and our Master? A lot of people just take this attitude. Well, it is what it is. Well, that isn't what it is in heaven. That's a wrong concept, and it's one that needs to be eliminated. And again, I will say, don't just be good. but be great. You know, God praised His great servants because they went above and beyond. They were always serving God. Anybody in here ever driven a Chevy Nova? You got one, David? You used to have one. Yeah. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Chevy Nova was a relatively successful American car for many years. And it was encouraged by U.S. sales. Chevrolet began to market the American Nova, however, throughout the world. Unfortunately, the Nova did not sell well down in Mexico and in other Latin American countries. Additional ads were ordered to market. The marketing efforts were stepped up, and they did everything in the world they could. But the sales down in Mexico and in Latin America always stayed very stagnant. They just didn't get beyond where they should have been. They remained the same. And all of the sales directors were baffled about that. The car had sold well in America. Why wasn't it selling down there? When they discovered the answer, it was rather embarrassing. For in Spanish, the word Nova means no go. No go. Who wants to buy a car that's called no go? We got a lot of no go Christians in our world. Let everybody else go, but not me. Let everybody else be responsible, but not me. Let me tell you something this morning. We talk about people say, I want to be the average Christian. How can you be the average Christian? Well, to be an average Christian, don't leave the boat. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, Jesus told a very interesting story here. Jesus is out on the Sea of Galilee, and he asked the Apostle Peter to step out of the boat. And Peter steps out of the boat, and he begins to walk toward Jesus. Now, a lot of people blame Peter because he sank in water after a few moments because he took his eyes off Jesus. He saw all the wind that was blowing, and he saw the waves that were whipping all around that boat. And the Bible said he took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink. And Jesus rescued him. But I'm asking you a question this morning. How many of us would have even got out of the boat? If Jesus bids you to come, you come. If He asks you to be a child of His and He wants you to serve God, He is asking you to get out of the pew and come to Christ. Are we willing to take chances, or do we just sit back and simply do nothing? Let me ask you a question. What are you doing with the talents you have? You know, we got some super, super talented people in this church. We got some wonderful people in this congregation that you can call on in an instant. Some of our new converts sitting right down here are people I'm talking about. They don't have to be begged and pushed and pulled. You don't have to twist their arms. These are people that want to serve God. If I told you what they did this week, you would be astounded. What are you doing with your talents? In the book of Proverbs 22 and verse 29, the Bible says someday you and I will stand before the King. When we stand before the great King of the earth, I want to stand there as one who is above average. I know what it takes to be above average. I'm not patting myself on the back. Hey, all the glory belongs to God. But I'm telling you, I learned a long time ago that I'm not content with average. I'm not content with just getting by. I don't want to kind of ease through the door of heaven. Let me ask you a question. How would you like to go to a dentist like this, who had graduated from medical school with a C? Not me. You know what? I'm going to have a heart cath this week, and I tried to get the very best person I know to do the job. I want the best working on me. I'm not content with someone average. I'm not interested in somebody saying, yeah, I used to do these a long time ago. I don't want someone to say, yeah, I do these occasionally. Or, I appreciate you calling on me because I've always wanted to do one of these. I'm not interested in that. I want the best. And you know what? Because you're a child of God, you deserve the best. How would you like to go to a dentist that says, don't fear? Hey, I made a C in dental college. Let me tell you the dangers of the average life. And there are dangers. There are dangers. The average renders us unfruitful and unproductive based upon the words of Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10. Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, he says, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That ought to be the prayer that we pray for the Lord's church every day, isn't it? Average leads to laziness. In the book of Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 11, God says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, which having no guide, no overseer, no ruler, he says, but she provides meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. She knows that winter is coming. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? And when will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And so, listen to this. Here's the crux of the matter. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. God says we have to rise above where we are. Where we are. Don't just be good. Be great. You know, people say to me quite often, boy, y'all have some wonderful people out at Crockett Road. You know what I say? I said, no, we got some great people. We got some great folks. In Ephesians 5 and verse 14, the writer says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. But when a person is content to be average, average leads to impulsiveness and impatience. I'm going to tell you, I see it every day. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 through 12. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. You know what? You could stop right there, couldn't you? You could. We are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints, and even now you are ministering. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises of Almighty God. I'll be quite honest with you. The concept of being average sickens the Lord. I don't know how to say that any plainer than that. But if you were to go to the book of Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16, you'd understand what I'm talking about. God says, because you're neither cold nor hot, and you're just lukewarm, you are in the middle, you are average, you are mediocre, God says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It is a lesson the church needs to learn. We need to be people that excel. Paul said, let me excel to the edifying of the church. Seek, and then he says, seek that you might excel to the edifying of the body of Christ. It means to rise, surpass. It means to project out of or from something. It is to be better or greater, to be superior to another or others who are content to sit on the sidelines and do nothing. Edmund Burke once made the statement that for the forces of evil to triumph, all men, good men, need to do is just simply do nothing. I'm thankful that, and I appreciated Charles's prayer. I appreciate the fact that our president is doing something. Yeah, we got a mess down on the border. Where were all the people the last 8 years? Where were they when the same thing was going on? Thank God for someone who's trying to do something. He's hitting at it. You may remember the story about Nancy Jones, who lived out in the Midwest. She was an old maid school teacher, never did anything good, never did anything bad. Editor, did she died, by the way, up in her 90s. Editor of the paper didn't know what to say about her. You didn't get long, listen. You don't get long flowing obituaries in the paper today unless you pay big bucks for it. But back then they used to do it. But they didn't know what to write about Nancy Jones because she never did anything bad. She never did anything good. So the editor went down to the sports editor and said, look, Nancy Jones died. I need somebody to write an epitaph to go in the paper in the obituary. Could you do it? He said, I'll be happy to do it. The next morning he came in, found it on his desk, and here's what it said. Here lie the bones of Nancy Jones. For her, life held no terror. She lived an old maid and died an old maid. No hits, no runs, no errors. You know what? We need to be hitting at something. But we got a lot of folks that are not even striking at the ball. Do your best. Be your best. Average is not enough. With a lot of folks, it's just average. That's all. Someday you'll appreciate what I'm telling you. When you stand at the bar of heaven, if you have risen above where you are and you hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you will appreciate this sermon. Some of you may be mad when you walk out today. I hope you're not. If you are, so be it. I'm not the best, but I'm trying to be the best. Trying to do my best. Because God desires excellence. He desires it in our faith. Matthew 17, verse 20. He desires it in our love. That we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. He desires excellence in our service. Nothing but the best will do. You know, several years ago, I don't know if you remember or not, but over in Athens, Texas, there was a television production company that actually made televisions. And it was called Curtis Mathis. Anybody remember that? They had a little logo that said, The name doesn't go on until the quality goes in. Shouldn't that be said of every Christian? You can't wear the name of Christian until the quality goes in. That's what God is saying, isn't it? The quality of our faith, the quality of our love, the quality of our service. God desires excellence in our relationships with each other, that we're to get rid of bitterness and hatred and animosity. Let's love one another. Let's develop the right kind of relationship. When it comes to giving, you give your best, the Bible says. Give your best unto God. Seek the kingdom of God first. Matthew 6 and verse 33. And when it comes to really living before the world, live the best. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I'm not here to be average. I am here to be awesome. But there's another little addendum to that. You're not here. God didn't make average. As a little boy said to me one time, he said, God didn't make no junk. He made you to be awesome, like him. Now, you may not be able to do all the little things that others can do. I'm not saying you can do this. But we need to start practicing a little spiritual exercise, shouldn't we? And you know what? When we do, God will give us the thumbs up. I don't want to stand in His presence when life is over here with the thumbs down. I don't. We must overcome the mindset of average. We need to learn to appreciate excellence in everything. Hebrews chapter 8. And verse 6, and imitate the excellence that we see in others. When we see that in others, let's try to be, you know, why do we want to pattern ourselves after failures? Why do we want to pattern ourselves after people that are doing less than we are? And we need to encourage excellence in others. For Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, provoke one another unto love and good works. Don't just be good, be great. Be the best that you can be. Oh, listen, always do your best. For what you plant right now, you will harvest later. As one old preacher said, there's a payday someday. And there is. You will commit yourselves to personal Christian growth when you are committed unto Jesus Christ. And in the book of Psalms 37 and 5, commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in Him. Proverbs 16 and verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established by Almighty God. Don't get forced into a relationship or into a commitment. That's not what God's looking for. He's not. He's looking for people who want to come after Him, who want to follow Him, who want to do His will. And I will remind you that today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Time is passing away. What is the plan of salvation? God has one, by the way. It's not left up to us to determine what we want. For He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. There was an old man one time, and I close with this, who stood on a Virginia riverbank many, many years ago. He stood there, and he was waiting to actually cross the river. And since it was bitterly cold, and there were no bridges that were there, he would have to catch a ride to the other side. And after a lengthy wait, he spotted a group of horsemen that were approaching. He let the first one pass, and then the second, and the third, and the fourth, and even the fifth. And one rider remained. As he drew abreast, The old man looked him in the eye and he said, "Sir, would you give me a ride across the river?" The rider immediately replied, "Certainly." And once across the river, the old man said, as he looked at the gentleman, "Sir, I could not help but notice that you permitted all these other men to pass without asking for a ride. Then when I drew close to you, you immediately asked me to carry you across the river. But I'm curious as to why you didn't ask them, but you asked me." The old man quietly responded. He said, "I looked into their eyes and could see no love, and knew in my own heart that it would be useless to ask them for a ride. But when I looked into your eyes, I saw compassion, love, and a willingness to help. I knew that you would be glad to give me a ride across the river." And the rider was so touched. He said, "I'm grateful for what you're saying. I appreciate it very much." And with that, Thomas Jefferson turned and rode off to the White House. You see, the eyes are the windows of the soul. If you had been that last rider with the old man, have asked you for a ride, would he? Was there something different about Thomas Jefferson? Absolutely. Is there something different about you? You know, in the book of Jude, that little book, that one chapter, there's a little passage in there that says that you and I ought to be making a difference. And we'll never, ever make a difference by being content to be average. May God help us to rise above where we are. And may He help you this morning if you're not a Christian. Oh, you may be wearing that name. But if you're not a Christian, then would you come this morning and surrender your life unto Christ through a commitment to Him by being born again of the water and the Spirit, or through a renewal that comes through restoration of our faith in Christ? David has selected that song of encouragement that we're going to sing to hopefully move you from the pew to the front of the building. If you're in need of coming to Jesus this morning, I hope you'll do it. I hope you'll trust, and I hope you'll obey. Let us stand and let us sing.